Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tamika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Happy New Year, beloved. Happy New Year. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. This is our first show of 2021. God bless you and good morning to you. Good morning, beloved. How are you?
Good morning, Apostle. I am well. I'm happy to be alive on the second day of the new year. Amen, amen. Mm-hmm. And I'm just glad that, you know, we're here again. God blessed us to be able to still carry on what he has called us to do. So, yes, I am ecstatic this morning.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And, again, I do thank the Lord for each and every one of you. For those of you who have stuck with us throughout the year of 2020, praise be unto God. Those that have made any contributions to help keep the radio show going, those that contributed with your prayers, praise the Lord. Those of you that contributed by being here and supporting us every single week, we truly do thank God for you. We truly do thank God for you. We know that so many of you, I say you, but I mean us, so many of us have dealt with this COVID virus, amen, and we've had members of our family that passed on the glory. We have those that have survived the virus. Praise God. Some of us may have dealt with the virus personally, but we still want to say this day is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice and be glad in it. So good morning to my regulars. Praise be unto God. Tamika, God bless you. To her mom, Joyce, her mom and dad, Joyce and Lester Richardson, God bless you. To Teresa, to, praise God, Prophetess Kim, Prophetess Dorn, Isaiah and Isaiah, bless you, love you. To all the members of New Vision that join us, God bless you, men and women of God. Deacon Thomas Farr, bless his heart. Thank the Lord for him always. And, you know, I just want to say those are the people that are with us just about every single Saturday. And there are many of you that are with us, and I think those are the ones that Tamika covers, Minister Tamika. She covers them because we don't see you and we don't know that you are here with us on Saturday mornings. But you go ahead and greet our other guests, darling.
Yes, ma'am. I just want to say Happy New Year to each and every one of you. It is a blessing to be able to, you know, see another year, especially all that was going on last year. We made it through. And so we have a lot to be thankful for and grateful for. We are still in the land of the living. God is still watching over us and blessing us. So I just want to say thank you, Lord, first and foremost, for everything that he is doing. I can see that, you know, things that we prayed for, some have seen, some are still waiting. But guess what? God is a promise keeper, and so we still hold on to his promise, and we trust him in everything that he has promised to do. And so just good morning to each and every one of you again. I'm just so happy that you are still here. You know, God allowed you to still be here, so praise God for that. And we're just happy that, again, you are here with us this morning. You could have been doing anything else this morning, but you decided to be here on the line with us. And so we are grateful for that, and we just bless God and thank God for this platform where we're able to share the information that he has given us to share. So, again, I just pray that this information is blessing you or someone that you know. So to God be the glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We are, as you know, exploring the God-given gifts, and which are our motivational gifts. We are exploring those gifts, and today we will be exploring the gift of the server. So while we are praying to open up the show this morning, why don't you go ahead and text somebody, call somebody, send an email to somebody, give them the number, tell them to call in. Excuse me. Tell them to call in and join us this morning. Go ahead. Now is a good time. It's a good time to do that. So go ahead and get your friends, your parents, your siblings, whoever it is, get them to join us on this morning. Praise the Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we do thank you. We honor you. We bless you. We magnify your holy name because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega. And Lord God, there is none like you. I thank you so much for this day, Lord God. It is because of you that we are able to gather here together. I thank you, dear Lord, because you brought us through another year, Lord God. Another year, Father God. You got us safely through that year. Yes, there were ups and downs, hills and valleys, good and bad, sickness and health, poverty and wealth, Lord God. There were all kinds of things that we dealt with. But I thank you, Lord God, that greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. I thank you, Father God, that we have learned more and more this year, the last year in 2020, we have learned more and more to trust in you, Lord God, to totally depend on you, Father. I thank you, Lord God, because in that season, Lord God, Father God, if we never ever needed the Lord before, we sure did need you in 2020. And I praise your name, Lord God, for taking us safely through that season. Lord God, as we come into 2021, Lord God, I decree and declare, Lord God, that this shall be, Lord God, a year of revival, Lord God, of restoration, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you that this will be a year of revelation, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that time, Lord God, will be restored, Father God, that things that we have lost in 2020, Father, so much of it will we regain. I thank you for the new beginning, Lord God, of things, new ministries, new babies that were born, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, that chains and bondages, God, blockage and all kinds of things that kept ministries bound up and not excelling, I thank you that those things are ended, that those shackles have been broken, the chains have been broken, that they're dropping off right now. They dropped off, Lord God, before midnight, Father, of 2020, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for new life, Lord God. New life. I thank you for the new vision for life in the name of Jesus. Lord God, continue, Lord God, to be with us. I thank you those things that have taken 10, 15, 20 years to do, Lord God. In 2021, things are going to be done expeditiously, Lord God. Father, I praise you, Lord God, for the growth, not for each one of us. Yes, growth for us individually, praise be unto God, but collectively as well. I thank you that the kingdom of God is being expanded day by day by day. And Lord God, just the way it was in the book of Acts, Lord God, where thousands of people were added to the kingdom daily. Thousands were added daily. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that thousands and millions of people will be added to the kingdom, Lord God, on a daily basis. I thank you for souls being saved, bodies being healed, minds being restored, finances being increased in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we praise your name, Lord God. We honor you. I thank you for relationships being restored in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for new relationships, new friendships, Lord God. New, Lord God, new in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be done, O God, so that you would be glorified, Father, that you would be glorified. I thank you, Lord God, that we don't know the plans that you have for us, but you know those plans, O God. You know those plans that you have for us, Lord God, and that we shall prosper in your plan, Lord God. I praise your name that you've given us the grace, O God, to go on, the grace, Lord God, that it takes for us, O God, to continue to yield unto you. Lord, I pray that we will be a family, Lord God, that as we recommitted ourselves, O God, on New Year's Eve, coming into this new year, Lord God, as we recommitted, we surrendered unto you, that, O Father, that we will walk, O God, in the shadow of your grace. Lord, we will walk, Lord God, with you as you walk with us. For you are ours and we are yours, O God. And there's no place we'd rather be than to be, Lord God, in the will of God. So, Lord, we thank you, we honor you, we bless you. In Jesus, Yeshua's name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's a new year, y'all. It's a new day. It's a new day. And wonderful things shall be coming your way. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. I decree and declare that with the fast that we're most of us are beginning, because most of us, the bodies that we are associated with normally fast throughout the month of January. Oh, and I am decreeing and declaring in this month of January, hallelujah, that there is going to be such a divine connection between us and God. Our strength, our divine will to do as he would call us to do, that it is going to be done. I decree and declare in the name of Jesus that there's so much that's broken off of our backs, that forgiveness is done. Hallelujah, that we truly being set free is done. I thank God for the manifestation of our healing in the name of Jesus, divine healing. I thank him for miracles, praise be unto God, that is coming forth in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that this year shall not nowhere near be as hard as last year was, oh, Father. God, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. Saints of God, be prepared for doors that are opening. Doors that are opening, doors that are opening. Be prepared to walk through some doors, hallelujah. Things that you have prayed about so much in the past, be prepared for it to come forth here and now. Be prepared, hallelujah. Be in a place of expectation. Don't start a day without expecting something wonderful to happen, some connection, some word from God, hallelujah, some instructions and directions. Be prepared, hallelujah. Be prepared to give birth, hallelujah. Be prepared to give birth to some new things that God has placed in you. And while it was in you, you were nurturing it while it was there. And now it's time for it to come forth in the name of Jesus. Be prepared. Be full of expectation in this year. Do not sit here and think that this is just another year, just like the last. No, my love, this is a different season. This is a different season. So I implore you to be prepared while you're full of expectation. Start decreeing a thing so that it could be established in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Oh, God, we thank you. And Lord God, I even ask you right now that even for this show, Lord God, that the newness that you would have come out of this show, this platform, Lord God, let it be done to your glory. Let it be done, Father God, to your glory. And Father, once again, in the name of your dear Son, the Messiah, Yahshua, Lord God, Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Ooh.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank
glory,
you, Lord.
Glory, glory.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. Hayararasata. Oh, glory. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Oh, okay. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, well. Well, listen, beloved. We are doing the gifts, discovering your God-given gift. Last week, we finished up with the perceiver. This week, we're doing the server. Praise the Lord. We're doing the server. My hopes is that, you know, we do a gift a week until we get through all of them. We do one gift a week. And if we are not through with a particular gift by 10 o'clock, which is our normal time, our 9 to 10, we will go over into the next half hour. So I want to let you know that now. So in case you have to leave at 10, we truly do understand. But I want to try to get every gift that we do done in the 1 hour. Also, please remember that anytime you want to speak, share an experience, something that we say, you know, brings back a memory of something and you want to share, please press 1 on your keypad and do so. Remember also that you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Apostle Etta Banks, and you can pull up Heart to Heart, and you can listen to all of the archived shows. All of the shows are recorded, and you may listen to the shows in your, you know, your own time, your at your convenience. You may do that. And to all of you January babies, happy birthdays for you for the month of January, all of you. God bless you, and may you be forever blessed by God, forever. I hope your blessings chase you down, and you can't get away from them. In Jesus' name, amen. So with all of that being said, I'm going to ask my marvelous, beautiful, wonderful, absolutely stupendous, most dependable, stable, committed, and submitted co-host to go ahead and open us up with our teaching for today.
Yes, ma'am. How could I not say yes to all of that now? Come on, yes. Yes, ma'am, I shall do what you tell me to do. Amen.
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 Oh, goodness.
All right, all right, all right. Well, we are going to be discussing the characteristics of the server. Yes, the characteristics of the server. And so you may see some of these characteristics in yourself, and you may say to yourself, "Oh, wow, that's why I do that. That's why I do that. Oh, okay. I have some characteristics of the server," but you may have never thought of yourself being a server. But after we share these particular characteristics, you may add that to another one of your God-given gifts. So, the server receives joy in helping, assisting, carrying out instructions, being of use in a wide variety of ways. And the first thing is they easily recognize practical needs and is quick to meet them. So, you know, servers can spot a need a mile away. It is though like they have this built-in radar to know others' necessities or to want to help. They are highly motivated to do something about meeting people's needs. And you can also spot servers at church events. You know, when we have certain events at church, you can spot a server because they're the ones that are always in the kitchen making the preparations, or they're setting up the tables and chairs, or they're doing the cleanup afterward. So they are always, like, the first ones willing to help, willing to set things up and break things down. And, you know, they look forward to the church event because they know that that's an opportunity for them to serve. And the most important thing is that servers enjoy doing it. Yes, servers enjoy being a server. The second one is especially enjoys manual project jobs and functions. So out of all the motivational gifts, it is the servers who have the greatest dexterity, and that is the ability to work well with their hands. And so that's why they are called the hands of the body. So they can do just about anything that involves the manual skill, like artistic things, fixing things, carpentry, plumbing, electrical work, sewing, cooking, and gardening. And when I think of my husband, and he loves to work with his hands. He loves to build things. He loves to fix things, doing contracting work, you know, certain things that, you know, men, you would think that men wouldn't do. Like, he loves to cook. And even after he cooks, he'll be the one to say, okay, you know, go. You can go sit down. I got the kitchen. And I'm like, huh, you said I can go sit down? Okay. So, you know, I can really see the server gift in my husband. And, you know, sometimes, you know, people don't understand the server gift. And I just want to briefly share a part of in this book where a mother wrote a letter to, like a Dear Abby letter, about her son, because she was upset that her son decided to drop out of college and take up a trade. And she basically couldn't understand, you know, why he wanted to take up a trade and not wanted to graduate from college. And she felt like she felt like a man that works with his hands isn't smart enough to work with his mind. And she compared him to, like, the other men in her family because his father and grandfather are physicians and both of his brothers are lawyers. And so she wanted Abby to basically say in her response to her that a college degree is absolutely necessary these days, and that after he graduates from college, then he can do anything he chooses, but she wanted him to finish college first. But Abby did not agree with her. She said that college is not for everybody. If Greg likes to work with his hands, that's what he should do. It's not true that those who work with their hands aren't smart enough to work with their minds. Handwork done well requires as much skill, talent, and brains as a profession. So parents, you know, we may have a certain idea, or we may have something set up in our mind of what we want our kids to do, you know, what we want them to be. However, sometimes they only do that to please you, but then they become resentful because they feel like you made them be something that they didn't want to be. And so that's why it's so good to make sure you build your children's gifts, your children's spiritual gifts while they're young, and so that it'll help you understand why they don't want to do something or be something that you want them to be. And you'll be okay with it because you understand who they are now because of their God-given gifts. So when they get older and, you know, you may feel like, I want my child to be a teacher, and then the child comes to you and say, no, I don't want to be a teacher. I want to go to trade school. You know, I want to do this. I want to do that. You're already okay with the decisions that your grown child has made now, because you understood their gifts way back when they were little. And so that's why, you know, we are in this position to share this information so that the kids that have grown up resentful of their parents because their parents forced them to be doctors and they didn't want to be a doctor. Their parents forced them to be lawyers. They didn't want to be lawyers. The child had wanted to be an artist, wanted to be a musician, and, you know, they knew that their parents would look down on that. So to avoid that disappointment and their parents being discouraged in them, they just went on ahead with whatever the parent wanted them to be. And now that they're older, they're resentful because of the fact they, you know, their parents did not listen to them when they tried to tell them otherwise. So the next one is they keep everything in meticulous order. Servers cannot stand clutter, dirt, or organization. Everything has to be a certain way. You know, they can't walk in a room and see a bunch of disorganization and feel like they can't do anything about it or they won't do anything about it. You know, their house, you may go in their house. You know how sometimes someone says, I need to stop by your house or, you know, and I'll be there in 15 minutes, and we jump up and we try to hurry up and put things in order and you know, put the papers away and hurry up and wash the dishes or sweep real quick. No, a server, their houses are already put together. They don't have to jump up and try to clean things up real quick. So they, for them, you know, it doesn't matter if you stop past their house anytime during the day because their house is always organized. It's no clutter and no dirt. And if, let's just say they go to the church. I won't use a particular won't say a person's house, so, because that's kind of personal. But let's just say they go to a church. They are part of their own church, you know, membership, congregation, or whatever. They may see some things that are out of order, and they, you know, may go to whomever is in charge of a particular ministry or maybe the pastor and ask, you know, I saw this, it needs to be fixed. Is it okay if I fix it? You know, I saw this room was in chaos, there's papers everywhere, you know, it just needs a quick touch up. Is it okay that I do it? And they don't mind doing it. That's what servers do. They just love to have things in order. And the next one is a detailed person with a good memory. Now, I used to have a good memory. I don't know what happened. I guess as I got older, I don't know what happened, but I used to have a good memory. I could look at something on a piece of paper and close my eyes and open my eyes and remember. It was like my mind was a camera that could take pictures of something written down or something that I read, and I could just recall that. You know, like I could see that book in my head and a particular something that I read, and I could go back to that in my mind and see it. I don't know what happened, but I know that I can pray to that God restore my memory to, you know, how it once was. So I can pray for that, and I know God will hear my prayer. And so they can remember where they filed away an article they clipped out of the newspaper 3 years ago. They remember that you like ice cream in your coffee. I mean, not ice cream. They remember that you like cream in your coffee, but not sugar. They remember all the birthdays on both sides of the family and remember to send cards. They can also relate an episode from the 13th chapter of a book they read last week with amazing accuracy. And so, you know, detailed memory of a server. You know, you may not have saw a server in 3 years, and then, you know, every year you're still getting a card from that person because they remember your birthday. And so every year, like clockwork, you get a birthday card. They may, you know, remember your anniversary, your anniversary, and every year they may send the couple anniversary card, you know, because that's you. That's who they are. Their memory is really good. Apostle, you want to go on with the next one?
Oh, do I have to? You're doing such a great job. Okay. All righty. Well, listen, beloved, let me just say this real quick. that while she was sharing the different characteristics there, oh my gosh, I was having so many flashbacks and so many memories of things. And the one thing that I want to share with you is about the servers, you know, not particularly geared for college, but more so the trade school and the beauty school, you know, things of that nature. And I remember, and as she was talking about how, you know, we can raise our children to be doctors and lawyers and this, that, and the other, where it is their inner desire, their motivational gift wants them to be, you know, an artist of some kind, a hairdresser, a musician, whatever the case may be. And the scripture that raised up a child in the way that he should go, and that when he's older, he shall not depart from it. And a lot of people think that that is strictly talking about raising them up according to the word of God. But from my teaching and understanding and revelation, it is raising them up according to their motivational gift. So that, because that's what God has placed in them. So if we as parents recognize the motivational gift of our children when they are young, we supply all of the tools that they need to become what it is that God has created them to become, and they don't depart from that. They don't depart from that because they are being raised according to what God purposed for their life. And I remember with my two daughters, one is corporate America from her head to her toe. You know, she's the one that making the six and seven figures, whatever the case may be. You know, corporate, just corporate America, you know. And the other one is the domesticated mother, the mom, the homebody, and so forth, you know, two different personalities, two different goals in life, the whole nine yards. And I was raising my children the exact same way, you know, desiring for them both, you know, to go along the same trail. They're only 15 months apart, so they went to school together. They graduated the same year. The youngest one graduated a year early. So therefore, she was able to graduate with her sister. They both started off to college together. The youngest one, which is the corporate America, you know, she ended up finished college years later, but she continued until she got school finished. The oldest one only did the first or second semester in college, and that was it. You know, no longer interested in that. You know, everything went along for her being a homemaker, a mother, you know, caring for people and so forth and so on. And it was only through the gifts, praise be unto God, it was only through the gifts that I learned to appreciate each one of them and their specific role in what God called them to be. And then I was able to supply what they needed to go towards that and become what God called them to be. And for me not to be ashamed that one child, you know, graduated from college and got all her degrees and so forth, and the other one didn't. That one, you know, is making plenty of money and the other one isn't making plenty of money. But each one of them are doing what they were anointed to do. It was a blessing. And both of their lives are fulfilled. They are fulfilled as human beings. The amount of money you make does not a person make you. Hear me. It doesn't. That doesn't mean that you're successful because you make a lot of money. And being what God has called you to be and being the best at what it is that God called you to be, that is good success. And Jesus himself says, you know, that he prays and wishes for us to have good success. So that means we can have success that isn't good, but to have good success. And so I just wanted to share that with you to show you how, you know, in your family, your children, you know, are not going to be the same. And we need to learn how to respect what it is that God has placed in them and nurture that thing so that they can be what God has called them to be in their childhood and going into adulthood. That's the best way that we can service our children. And we will find out that we will have less frustrated children when we do that. Amen, amen. I just had to get that out there. Okay, now where are we? I done forgot where we were in our...
Yep. Number five, you start with number five.
Number five, thank you, my love, thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
So the server loves to show hospitality. They look for opportunities to invite others over for dinner or for dessert, and they do a terrific job of making their guests feel welcome. They love hospitality. There's nothing that they like better, you know, than showing you and helping you feel right at home, in their church, in their place of business. They always want you to feel at home. They enjoy this immensely. Number six is the fact that they will stay with something until it's complete. Service finish what they start. Hallelujah. They have a wonderful stick-to-itiveness with whatever it is that they are doing. When they say they will do something, you can depend on them doing it, completing it without any problem. The only thing that produces frustration is when you give them something to do in too short of a time. You see, they not only want to finish a task, but they want to do it well. And with servers, you know, I don't know if I'm stepping into another one of the characteristics, but they don't like to have a long list of things to do at one time. They want you give them one or two things to do, let them complete that one or two things, and then give them the next thing to do and let them complete that. Servers love to complete jobs, and that's what gives them joy. And if you give them a list of 10 or 15 things to do in one day, they may not get all of it done. They'll get frustrated trying to get it all done, and that takes away the joy of them serving. They like to know that they have served and served you well. So never give them a long list of things to do. They have a hard time saying no to requests for help. Because servers are naturally geared to be helpful, and because they know that they're good at it, it is difficult for them to turn down a request for help. And as a result, they get over-involved. Even a single question like, do you know what to use for a clogged drain? Now, you know what to use for a clogged drain, but when you ask a server, do you know what to use for a clogged drain? And instead of them just telling you Drano, their natural response is, oh, well, let me come over and look at it for you. You know, and they want to serve you. They will come, they will stop at the store, get the Drano, come over and pour the Drano in the drain for you. You know, they have a hard time of knowing when to stop and let you do for yourself, or for them to continue to do and do and do. So then the eighth thing is that they are more interested in meeting the needs of others than their own needs. Servers are such caring people. They care so much for everyone. It is difficult for them to separate themselves from not doing everything there is that they can do for people if they sincerely do care. So those of you that are married to or significant others or looking at your children, watch and see how they are dealing with people. This may be an indication that they are a server, you know, taking care of the needs. Watch your little girl or your granddaughter as she's playing with her dolls, and she's seeing to it that every little thing she needs is taken care of. Watch her conversation with her dolls. Watch your sons as they're doing the things with their, and look, I know, what's that word? I'm doing the general thing, stereotyping, you know, the boys with the trucks and this, that, and the other. And the girls with the dolls, we know, you know, that either one can play with either one. Praise be unto God. But you watch, you know, the little boy that's got his Legos or his trucks and his cars, and he's doing mechanical work and so forth, you know, on that. And but, you know, he's being a little server at that point. Watch what they're doing. Listen to what they say, and this will help you. Also, let me just throw in real quick here that through Don and Katie Fortune, through there's information that you can get. Well, we use another system now. I'm sorry. We use another system now where you can actually do an assessment on your children and find out what their gifts are so that you can be able, you know, to nurture those gifts. And I'll have to pull that up. If not today, I should have it for you next week. The company that we use to do our gifting assessment, and where you can get the children's form. They have one for children. They have one for teenagers. They have the ones for the adults. So you can get them, and you can do the assessment and find out what your gifts are. Amen. Amen. Okay. Number nine is that they enjoy working on short-term goals rather than long-range goals. Servers prefer short-term projects. They like something that takes 2 hours better than something that takes 2 weeks, and they prefer a two-week or a two-month project to a two-year project. They enjoy something that they can get their teeth into and finish it in a foreseeable amount of time. They leave long-range goals to the administrators. They enjoy doing the things. They want to see the results of what it is they're doing, quick, fast, and in a hurry. They enjoy providing food for a family where the woman might be down and out and can't do for her family. The server is the one that likes to rush in and do, you know, for the family and take over, you know, while the mother of the house is temporarily out of, not order, out of, well, Tamika, help me, what's the word? She's out of what? I can't think.
I was trying to say in what context, like, in what are you, I'm trying to help you figure out the word you're trying to
find. Yeah, I know you are. When the mother can't keep up her duties in her home, the server will go in and is willing to help and do. And I started to say when the mother's out of sorts, but that's not the
commission.
Right word. Commission. There you go. Uh-huh. Yep, when she's out of commission. And so the server jumps up and says, okay, I can go and I can help you with this. If you have a server child, the formula for getting them to be productive is to do exactly what I was saying before. So I did skip ahead a little bit, but give them one or two things at a time. And when you do that and they get it done, then you can give them the next thing. And when they get that done, then you give them the next thing. You do that and you will have an extremely productive server, happy child, doing all of the things you want it done. You can get those 10 or 15 things done all day long if you give them one or two things at a time. But if you give them that whole list, you're only going to get a few things done on that list. That's all it is to it. So that is the secret to getting your server child, even your server mate, to get numerous things done in a day's time. The next thing is they show love for others in their deeds and in their actions more than words. Servers believe that action speaks louder than words, and they express their love by what they do. They express it by what they do. There's so many servers who won't sit around all day and give you words of affirmation, but they will do things that show their love for you. They will cook. They will make an outfit for you. They will do cleaning for you. All of these things is their, that's their love language to you, showing you that they love you through the act of service. Through the act of service, they will show their love for you. And so we have to be careful that we don't overlook that. Yeah, let me just say this here. When we do the stereotyping male and female roles in a household, in a home, one of the roles that we stereotype and think that a man should do is that he should definitely be the one to take out all the garbage. He should be the one, you know, to do the outside work, to do the yard work and so forth and so on. So as the wife, you know, we're thinking that's his job. That's what he should be doing. That's what we expect him to do. And so we don't see any reason why saying, honey, you did a great job with the yard today. Baby, thank you for taking out the trash. Because our attitude is he, that's what he's supposed to do. But every time he does this in his head, this is his show of love. He's not doing it just because it's his job. He's doing this because this shows he loves you. This is his action that is speaking louder than words. So that we normally would be taking for granted, that what we normally would be saying, that that's his job, he ought to be doing it, those are the areas where we should be saying thank you to him. I appreciate what you've done, and so forth. Because the server, you know, he wants to serve, but needs those words of affirmation, those words that let him know that you really appreciate what it is that he is doing. He may not say to you a lot, I love you, I love you, I love you. But just watch all of the things that he does that you can put on there. He's doing that because he loves me. He's doing that because he loves me. And you'd be surprised. You would hear from you adding those words, he's doing it because he loves me. You will begin to appreciate him or her, y'all, all the more. You will begin to appreciate them. Go ahead, beloved.
Amen. And you know, even in showing love, how they show love for others in deeds and actions, they also need to feel appreciated. So it's not that they're serving in order to be praised, but appreciation assures them that they've done well. And it also builds up a positive self-image in them. It is the culmination of their joy in serving. So, you know, it's not that every time, you know, they do something, they expect people to say, you know, to make them feel appreciated. But they do want to know that they are appreciated, you know, just like any other person who may do something that may not be a server, but do something for someone, you know, out of the kindness, you know, of their hearts, and they saw a need and they wanted to meet that person's need, you know, they may do that, and then they may do something for somebody else, and then they may do something for somebody else, but they, at the same time, they still want to know that the things that they're doing are being appreciated. Everybody wants to feel appreciated, even in a marriage, you know, at times with our children, we want to know that our children appreciate the things that we do for them. So it's nothing wrong with the need to feel appreciated. It's nothing wrong with that. And a server, you know, really needs to know that they're feeling that you appreciate everything that they're doing. And, you know, sometimes I see servers and it's like, always see them doing things and always see them helping. And, you know, they're going out of their way to, you know, make sure someone else has. And then, you know, I see that and I'm like, well, how can I help that server? You know, how can I bless that server? Because they're always doing something for somebody else. Like, so how can I do something for them? Because, you know, just because they're always doing doesn't mean that we can't do for them. They also tend to do more than asked to do. So servers enjoy the job so much that they often don't want to stop doing it. And so they may ask, could they help out with something? And you tell them yes, and then you look up, and it's 2 years later, and they're still helping out with the same thing. And you may have forgotten that you even asked that person, or that person even asked you, could they help do something to help you out? And you realize 2 years later they're still doing it, and you're like, wow, like they are still doing the thing that they asked, if they could do, or maybe you asked them and they say yes, and they're still diligently doing it. And you may go to them and say, look, you know, you've been doing this for 2 years now, you can stop. And they may look at you and say, no, I enjoy, you know, what I'm doing. It, you know, it brings joy to the hearts of a server when they're doing something that they enjoy doing, especially if it's putting a smile on someone's face. Also, they feel the greatest joy in doing something that is helpful. You may invite some people over to your house for dinner, and a server will see you in the kitchen or see you doing something, and they'll walk up to you and say, hey, is it something I can help you do? And most of the times when we're hosting, we'll say, no, I got it. But for the server, it's like they want you to give them something to do, and they don't want to be pushy about it. If you tell them no, you know, they don't want to be pushy about it. So they may just go and sit down. But deep down inside, it's like they cannot sit there and watch you do everything and them sitting there doing nothing. So, you know, if you're hosting something and a server walks up to you and say, hey, can I help you with something? Tell them yes. Find something for them to do, because most of the time, people that don't really want to help you, they're going to sit there and watch TV or, you know, do something. But a server, you know, they're going to actually genuinely walk up to you, and they really want to help. So if you're ever hosting anything and a server walks up to you and asks you, do you need help, just say yes, and just let them do something, whether it's at the table, whether it's, you know, whatever, just find something for them to do. Also, does not want to lead others or projects. So servers are not leaders. They are followers. God made them that way. And if a leadership position is forced on them, they are frustrated. It's tempting to turn leadership over to servers because they do such a good job at whatever they do. It may seem that they are the natural ones to take charge, but when this happens, they lose their joy. They've been placed in a situation for which they are not equipped, and the result is frustration for them. And probably eventually frustration for those they try to lead. So although it looks like, you know, they're organized, they like to help out, they find joy in doing stuff for people, you know, all those things, they are not equipped to be leaders. And you know how we hear people say you should be a leader and not a follower, so we make it seem like being a follower is so bad. But in certain situations, that be a leader and not a follower does apply. Like if you hang around people that are negative and they're always into criminal activity and they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing, that should apply in that you be a leader and not follow them down the wrong path. You find the correct path to follow. Don't follow them. But when in the spiritual case, God prepares us and equips us with certain things. Like, you know, we follow Jesus. We follow his ways, the things that he did. And so in spiritual cases, this is fine to be a follower. So, you know, don't make a server feel like
it is their responsibility to be a leader, because you'll see frustration grow within them, and then you'll be like, well, she used to be, or he used to be so lively and happy, but since he's been in this position, I no longer see that joy that they once had. And that's because they weren't equipped to be in a leadership position. Now, they may be able to help that person that's leading. They may be able to help them with certain things, but to, like, delegate and take over and be, like, maybe be, like, a leader of a ministry or something like that, no. Now, they can help the leader of the ministry do certain things, but to actually be the leader and delegate, they're not equipped for that. So they will become frustrated, and then the people that they're trying to lead probably will become frustrated. Another one is servers has a high energy level. Servers have one speed, fast forward. They seem to have boundless energy. 1 Peter 4:11 urges them to serve with the strength which God furnishes abundantly. And indeed, servers seem to have unusual endurance and often get by with less sleep than the average person. And we can only surmise that God has endowed servers with all of this energy because they are the doers, and there's so much that needs to be done. And so where I may need a whole 8 hours of sleep, the server may only need 6 hours of sleep. You know, they're constantly going. They're constantly doing something for somebody, or they're constantly maybe doing, like, outreach. They may be part of, like, the outreach ministry, where they're serving the homeless, where they're serving the less fortunate, where they're finding different things to raise money for certain projects and things like that. And so that's what brings them joy. That is what brings them joy. Another is cannot stand to be around clutter. So, you know, you may hear a server say that I can't leave the office until my desk is clear, or it's only after I have the house picked up that I can sit down and watch television, or they feel like they can't go or do anything else. They may they can't go over to their neighbor's house because they feel like they want to put things away at their own house, or even at that neighbor's house. They may see, you know, some clutter over there and may feel like they want to jump in and put some things away, but they like, okay, my neighbor might not appreciate that. So, you know, they're not going to do that without permission. Servers are also the ones, they may see, like, little things on the floor. They may pick it up. They may see that your picture is crooked on your wall, so they might take a minute or so and fix the picture so that it's straight now. So, you know, they're not ones that can see, like, stuff on the floor and just walk over it. You know, I've seen things on the floor, and I've seen people just walk by it. Now, granted, they really didn't see it. But, you know, I've seen where somebody has saw something on the floor and still walk right by. So I'm like, okay, I'll pick it up. You know, I'll get the broom. I'll sweep it up and put it in the trash. So, you know, we can't get frustrated with those people who, you know, aren't servers. Amen, amen, all right. Also, they tend to be a perfectionist. So whatever servers do, they want to do well. They want things to be just right and are willing to work toward that end. So for other gifts, perfectionism could be a sign of abnormal behavior, but the server has been created a perfectionist for God's purposes, and someone in the body of Christ needs to exhibit this trait in a positive and balanced way. So, you know, you may go over a server's house, and, I mean, everything in their house is perfect. You don't see any dust anywhere. You don't see anything on the floor. Their dishes are always washed. There's nothing on their countertops. There's nothing sitting on the dining room table. Coats are hung up. They're not hanging on the back of the chairs. And granted, you may have someone who is, you know, like this and not a server. They just love the house to be in a certain way. And that's fine. You know, if you're that person that everything has to be in place at all times, and it's your house, then so be it. But they, you know, they did say that for other gifts, it could be a sign of abnormal behavior. So, you know, if you're constantly someone comes in your house and they take their shoes off and one shoe is pointed towards the wall and the other one is pointed the opposite way, and you see that and you're like, oh my goodness, I have to put these shoes have to go the same way. They can't be going in opposite directions, and you got to run over there and straighten the shoes up. You know, now that may be a sign of something else. So, but for the server, when it comes to making sure things are in order, making sure there's no clutter, making sure that everything is perfect when it comes to maybe like a church event, that everything is perfect, everything is running and flowing the way that it's supposed to flow, that is fine for them, because, you know, God has created the server to be that way. Apostle, you want to do the last three?
Okie dokie. Okie dokie. And remember, callers, please, please, please remember, if you have any comments that you would like to make along these lines, especially if you're a server and you're hearing these things, if there's something that you would like to say and like to share, please press 1 on your keypad and share it with us. We always want to hear from you. Ooh, excuse me. Remember, this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Amen. Amen. Okay, so now let's see here. When serving, views. Service views serving to be the top priority in life. Servers seem to serve to be the essence of Christianity. To him or her, the rest is mere words. If a server doesn't see you serving, you know, it's almost like you must not be a Christian, because Christians serve. And, you know, the interesting thing is, of course, Jesus is a server. In fact, every one of the gifts we do, Jesus was number one in every single one of those gifts. And then there's a scripture that says, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you've got to be a servant to all. Yes, we are to serve mankind. There's a difference in us serving mankind and us being gifted to be a server. Amen. One we do out of obedience, the other we do out of motivation. Servers need to also be careful not to insist that others feel the same way about ministry as they feel, you know, and every single one of us, that's just not for service. Every single one of the gifts looks at ministry through their gift's eye. That's how they look at ministry. And if you're not doing ministry that way, they feel that you are out of sorts. You, excuse me, you are out of sorts. You must not be a true Christian because you're not doing it right. And so servants must be sure that that they don't press their priority in life and in ministry on others. They also prefer doing a job rather than delegating it. A server will see something that needs to be done, and instead of delegating and telling five other people to do it, they'll jump in and do the job and get the job done themselves. They have a sense of guilt if they don't do the job. And, again, they have to learn how to balance that thing on themselves and letting others help out in a situation. And then servers are absolutely some of the best support for leaders. For those that are in leadership, servers are great. They make wonderful secretaries, vice presidents, committee members. They have an incredible loyalty to those that they serve under. And it is not unusual for a server to burn the midnight oil to bring a project to culmination. Servers want to see those they support succeed. And God knows, I thank God for those servers. I thank God for those servers. So those were the 20 characteristics of the server. And I was trying to give somebody a chance to say something here before I said it myself. Beloved, if you are gonna press one on your keypad, here's one. Praise be unto God. Good morning, Joyce. How are you, darling?
Fabulous. Thank you. I did not want the day to go by without touching on that thing about the mother-in-law gift. The mother-in-law is a server. Daughter-in-law had a baby or something, and the mother-in-law wants to come over and help and serve, or she comes over for dinner or something, and she wants to serve. And the daughter-in-law thinks that she's nosy or intrusive, and that's an act of the devil, okay? It really is sometimes. And don't get me wrong, there are mother-in-laws who are like that. But that is so important that Satan catches us right in there. Okay, so many times there are women that hate their mother-in-laws or, you know, their mother's coming over and this, that, and the other. And I just wanted to put emphasis on that. Sometimes they're just working in their gifting, and their heart is to serve you. So make room for that. Don't be selfish and nice her out, you know. And I just didn't want it to go by without bringing emphasis to that.
Amen.
The thing says
Amen.
That you're
Thank
being
you.
Selfish. You're being selfish if you you deeply hurt that person's heart when they really are doing it and the intent of their heart is good. Now, if the intent of their heart is bad and you have a discerning spirit, then that's a whole nother subject.
Amen. Beloved. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Amen. God bless you, woman of God. God bless you. Okay, next caller, your last four digits are 4405. Good morning.
Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Fine, Tamira. How are you?
I'm over here and overload. I kept pushing the number one and nothing was happening.
Oh, well, I'm glad that you texted me. I'm telling you, because I was about to go ahead and do, you know. And I'm like, why aren't you talking?
First and foremost, I love what you guys are talking about, the characteristics of a server. I am a server. I think it's important to also mentioned as a server, like I have other gifts that are close in number.
Yes.
So it's a little different when you have other gifts closer in number. It's not like all of the characteristics that you're reading, they are so true for a true server.
Right.
But when you have other numbers that are in close proximity of a server, it can kind of alter things a little bit, and sometimes your gifts can even rotate.
Yeah.
Like, my concern is, like, if you know a person and you know that they are a server, you know, if they are in a season where their gifts may rotate and you're treating them still as a server, you know, there can be a bit of an issue. Like, I think sometimes in the church community, like, especially, like, when we have events and it's time to, like, clean up, you have those who are quick to help clean up, and we know that those are servers. And a lot of times, you know, other church members can kind of pick up on that, and they kind of, like, fall back because a lot of times servers like things a certain kind of way, and you don't want to step on their toes. But if they're in a season where things are rotating, one of the things that a server can Minister Tabika touched on it. Servers can feel unappreciated.
Yeah.
And if you are not, what I'm trying to get to is you need to check in. Even though, you know, I may be a server and I got this, still check in to see what my response is going to be. Don't just automatically assume I have it. If you are in a season of feeling underappreciated, it can result and you just completely shutting down because you start to feel like that everybody is using you for something. Nobody's
mm-hmm.
trying to support you and help you. One, I am the head of a marriage ministry, so when she mentioned as far as, like, if your mate was cooking for you and,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was time to clean up, and they say, no, go ahead and sit down, I got this, and we'll, like, run out the room because we really don't want to clean anyway,
mm-hmm.
I would encourage all spouses to pause. Even though that person, that spouse say, hey, I got this, you go sit down, you go relax, depending
mm-hmm.
on where your giftings are, your numbers are, a person still may want you to help.
Right.
They can still be in a position to want to feel like you do want to help. So, I mean, it's a lot of things you said. I'm in agreement with everything you said. The only thing is that number has to be super high because you can come by my house and find my house disorganized. Sometimes a server gives the out. They give
there
of themselves so much to
there
others. They have nothing left to give to themselves. I know a lot.
Yeah.
I have a girlfriend who used to be married to a contractor. You know, and they would go out and fix up everybody else's house, but when it came to their own house, you know, nothing was working. Nothing was getting
mm-hmm.
fixed. And they used to be so frustrated. It's because you deplete yourselves. You really have nothing left to give. Now, you're always in motion of being in the process of getting your house together or getting things together in your own home. That never stops. But sometimes you're... If you are like an A personality type person,
mm-hmm.
along with being a server, okay, everything's going to be in pristine condition. You know, nothing's going to be out of order in your home. So that's why I think as far as heads of ministries, leaders, pastors, not just know the main gifting of your of the person, you need to know, I would say, at least the top three, so you really know
Absolutely.
How to maneuver and shift things around and make sure that everything is kind of checked off.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Now, beloved, listen, y'all, I want y'all to know, Minister Sabrina, first of all, this young lady that was Minister Sabrina, she's a member of New Vision for Life. She's the longest member. She and her husband are the longest members at New Vision. And she is the first person, when I taught the gift many years ago, she was the first person that grasped this thing. And, I mean, and she has walked it out all of these years. You know, she has walked it out. She's a true believer in the motivational gift, and she not only did the gift, you know, for her and her husband, she did it for her children. It gave her a different view of how, you know, to deal with the children and so forth and so on. And every single thing that she has said, you know, I have to deal with the five concerns or challenges of the server. I yet got to throw that in here real quick. But everything that she said, that was stuff that I would have said, especially the one about the server's home. You know, the natural characteristics is the fact that their home is going to be together. You can stop by any time. The other thing is the fact that they're so busy doing for other people that that's the other side of the coin, that they don't have time to take care of their home. And so, you know, so you can see their homes cluttered and so forth and so on. You know, so that was one thing. And the other thing that she mentioned is in the giftings, when you do the assessment, the fact that you can be a server, let's just say your number is 40, you can be a server at 40 and you can be a perceiver at 39. Your perceiver and your server, those two things are going to work so closely together, you know, that some of the things that the perceiver does in the number one spot that the server doesn't do, the perceiver is going to do it and your server person isn't going to do it. Then it'll switch and the server is going to do some things that are priority and that the perceiver isn't going to be doing. And so they will switch on and off because they're running so close. She is so right. Anytime we do these assessments, we always look for the first three, your three highest gifts. And that helps us to balance out what it is and where it is, you know, that you are operating. And it's dealing with your three highest gifts. And so I want to thank you, Minister Sabrina, for sharing, you know, your personal, you know, story with us and knowing how this works. Now, problems, the five problems of the, not problems, I told y'all I hate that. I'm crossing that word out of my book. The five challenges. With the server is one is that they're very critical of others who do not help out with obvious practical needs. You know, and in the Bible, the quick example of that was Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha, you see Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him teach, while Martha is running around preparing the food, taking care of the guests and so forth and so on. And Martha got an attitude. She got an attitude, but Mary didn't care about all that stuff. She wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus, okay, and hear what he had to say. So they're very critical for those who don't help out where there's, it's obvious that there is a practical need there. The second thing is they may neglect their own family's needs by being too busy helping others. And that's what we just spoke about. You can find a service house uncluttered. Because they're so busy doing elsewhere. And so that is one of the challenges there. Number three is they may become pushy or interfering in the eagerness to help. I'm going to take that back to what Lady Joyce said about the mother-in-law who is eager to come over and help, you know, with the household, with the family and so forth, you know, after you just had a new baby and so forth. And so she's willing to come over and help. You think that she's being pushy. You think she's being nosy. She's interfering with your business and so forth. And servers can do that. They can do that in their eagerness to help. But seriously, beloved, look at the gift, as Lady Joyce said, and acknowledge the gift and then begin to embrace it and understand them better. The fourth thing is they find it hard to accept being served by others. That also is another challenge for them. Service, because they love doing the serving, they find it awkward when someone else wants to serve them. The fact is they need to learn how to receive as well as to give. And if they don't, they rob others of the joy of serving, because a server has to remember they're not the only one with that gift in their circle. So somebody wants to serve them at some point in time. Honey, sit back sometimes, relax, and enjoy it. And the last challenge that they have, they're easily hurt or offended when unappreciated. The need for appreciation is deeply built into a server, that so much so that some hurt is almost inevitable. It's almost inevitable. Because they do what they do and it comes so very natural, we do have the tendency, y'all, we do have the tendency not to show the appreciation that we have for them, because they just jump in and they do things and, you know, and you get to the point where you say, oh, don't worry about it. You know, Sabrina got that. Oh, don't worry about that. Beka and Mark got that. Oh, don't worry about that. So-and-so and so-and-so got that. And you begin to expect them to do, because they do so much. You expect them to do. Sometimes you're taking advantage of it. Others, it's the expectation, because they've shown that they're going to do it. But those servers need to be appreciated. They need to know it. So it's important to look for the Lord, for us to look for the Lord, for a service to look for the Lord first and foremost, for their appreciation. God will never let us down. He always gives it when others don't give it. So let his love for you, servers, let his love and his appreciation be what matters the most. And then anytime anybody else says thank you or we really appreciate you or whatever the case may be, they put frosting on the cake. The cake is God letting you know that he appreciates you. Our thank you, notes of appreciation, certificates of appreciation, whatever it is that you get for all that you've done, that's just the icing on the cake. That's just the icing on the cake. Oh, well, thank you, beloved, beloved, beloved. Yes, so we have done the 20 characteristics of the server. We've done the 5 challenges of the server. And definitely loved hearing from 2 of the servers this morning. And that's one of the things that we're hoping to initiate every single week as we go through this, you know, that a person with that gift is saying, hold up, wait a minute, well, what about da-da-da-da-da? Oh, yep, you know, that is so true. That is me to the T. I didn't know I was thus and so, but now I know. And we hope that these type of teachings will bring you to a place where you will have clarity of purpose. You will have clarity in knowing how and why you were created. And we do thank you so very, very much for being with us here today on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. We appreciate you. Yes, darling.
I'm sorry. I'm not sure if Sabrina want to say something again. I'm not sure.
Okay,
I guess we can. Wait a minute.
I got it. I'm so sorry.
I got it. It's Sabrina.
I did it already.
Thank you, Pika. Now, I just wanted to touch on what you were just talking about as far as the example, a mother-in-law wanting the help and the other person having a hard time to receive it. It's important that, you know, you're teaching the giftings, okay, and we're now recognizing what our giftings are. It's also important to know what the other person's gift is. So when you approach them, when you have a conversation with them, when you're doing something or want to do something, you know what you're dealing with, and you know how to maneuver around and do it without there being any hesitation in the person receiving from what you like to do. And sometimes as server, we have in our mind what we would want to do or what. Okay, for example, I think it was a relationship she mentioned, Sister Joyce, or an example. So if I'm married to a man and his mother's a server, and she wants to help out because I just had a baby and bring us food because she knows her sons love a certain kind of food. And I, too, or if I'm not used to receiving it or if I'm a server as well and I want to provide for my husband myself, what would diffuse that is if the mother had a conversation with me and asked how can she help, in what ways, you know, could she be of service instead of doing something on her own. So, I mean, there's just a lot of different ways that you could do it. It's just important to know when you are approaching a person, when you are working with a person, when you want to do something for a person, to know what and who you're dealing with. So what you're trying to do is received on the other end. Because sometimes the person is in a situation that they've never been in before, don't know how to receive it, or it could be a person who is walking with the same gift and don't know how to receive it.
right, absolutely. And in that same scenario that you just spoke about, and you said it would be good for the mother-in-law to ask before she comes and does something, with you knowing about her and you knowing her gift, because she may not know anything about the gift, so she would not be the one maybe to ask. She just may take it upon herself. How you can diffuse that is you saying to her, you know, Mom, look, I would love it if you would help me out on such and such a day and such a day of the week. I would really appreciate it. So now you've made her feel appreciated and wanted, and you know that that's her gift, so she'll want to serve. and you put a day on it of the week that she can help out, which is saying don't come by here on Tuesday if I said Monday, okay? You know, you're letting her know, and then so you also can take charge of that. Because she may not know what to do as a server and how to approach the woman of the house. She may not know. So that thing will work both ways, love. And this is why, like when Safrina said, it is good to know the gifts of everybody that you're involved with. And unfortunately, you won't know the gifts of everybody you're involved with, because if the mother-in-law doesn't take the gift assessment, you won't know her gift unless you're listening to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter and you are able to identify what it is, and then you'll know how to work around some of those things. Praise be unto God. Once again, ladies, we appreciate
Apostle,
you. Yes, my love.
I'm sorry. Ms. Joyce want to say something as well. Can you unmute her?
I certainly can. Go ahead, my dear.
Apostle, I'm about to step right into your mouth because I was getting ready to say that that's why it's so important that we're going through this subject, and I think our churches need to go over it. And what do you do when you get new members into your church and they're trying to fit into the congregation? And so it is just so important. It is so, it's so important. And that's all I wanted to say. I get so much. And before this, you talked about the five love languages, and it's just you need to study your garden, study, and that's what I'm doing. I'm on here with you studying and refreshing and watering some things that I'm doing and pruning some things, and I'm just delighted, and that's all I wanted to say.
Amen, amen, baby girl. I tell you, I love it. I love it. And for me and Tabika, having the two of you speak up today, you know, this makes it so worthwhile. It makes it so worthwhile. We appreciate the feedback. We appreciate it to the utmost. And it helps us to know that we are on the right track. We are on the right track. Well, next week we will start with the characteristics of the teacher. We will start with the characteristics of the teacher. And we know that you will be blessed by that as well. So y'all be sure that you come back next Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Be sure to bring a guest with you. Invite others out. I'm really serious. Invite others. Don't keep this all to yourself. Let's share the wealth of what God is doing in us, to us, through us, with us, and for us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All righty, darlings, that is going to be it for the day, and we love you. Take care and be blessed. Bye, Minister Tabika.
Thank you for listening to Heart to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.